Okay, great. Hi, this is Sam Hartman again, and I have the pleasure now to introduce Michael Bank, who's going to be talking about FAI and
Goza.
Okay. I'm sorry, I just realized I didn't know how to pronounce that. So this morning at the bar, one of the things that we talked about was whether there was any tools that were sort of at the, you know, between the kind of stuff Russ was talking about last hour and sort of the one machine. And it sounds like Michael's going to be talking about what fits really nicely into that space, at least on the side of installations and you know, how that works for repeatable installations for small organizations. I think this will be very interesting.
Thanks, Sam. So I'm Michael Bank. I have contact with FAI and Goza through my work. I'm working professionally for Creative, and we're helping the city of Munich to get the most out of FAI and Goza. So they are doing some pretty large scale thing, as you might have heard. They're trying to migrate all their 15,000 desktops to Linux. So they're doing quite some heavily modified stuff. So basically, they are based on Edge, but they don't call it Edge anymore. They have some other release name scheme, not Toy Story. And there's a lot of packages that they forked and a lot of packages they added. And that's one thing. And the other thing is that also they're using FAI and Goza in a pretty pushy way. Oh, it's pushing what Goza can do in some sense. So they're using multiple servers. These servers are talking to each other. And I'm not going to talk about that tonight or today. But I think it would be interesting because there had to be quite a lot of modifications to be done to get this setup going, or it's still ongoing, I guess, to migrate. So we're still helping them. And it would be nice to at least get some parts out of it for regular stuff. So I'm not going to talk about server-server integration. That's maybe for another year, because it's just so far away from anything you can easily do on Debian right now. It really takes a lot of integration work. But yeah. So first of all, who knows FAI? Who has used it already? Not that many people, actually. I thought everything would go up. And who knows Goza? Okay, so quite a few less. FAI is probably much more well-known. As a disclaimer, I'm not that much of an FAI expert compared to other people in the room. We're mostly working on the Goza side, but I would really like to present what you can do with Goza and FAI and how you can install and manage systems with it. And okay, so FAI, as Russ just said, it's one of Debian's success stories. It's really great. It's, on the other hand, quite sysadmin-centric, I would say, so you need to It's very command line based. You program in Perl and CF Engine or Shell in order to get things going as you want. And the tagline is plan your installation, and FAI installs your plan, or FAI installs your plan. I still don't know what the real pronunciation is there. And it's implemented in Perl.
No, sorry.
What is it then?
Shell
and Perl. Okay. Others. But okay. So this is the part which is probably pretty well known. I mean, I'm not going to talk too much about FAI, just a bit about how it's working. Basically, you get a client-specific pixie config. So the clients will boot over DHCP. And then get get a config which gets generated, or which gets generated by the Phi change boot program. And depending on that config, it either says reinstall or local boot. So then the client knows whether it should go into installation mode or just boot from the local hard drive to get a regular boot up going. And then clients boot over NFS. So there is a central server which serves the root file system over NFS. And from there on, the init system is basically just Phi itself. So there is no regular init. And Phi then runs a couple of scripts which determine which classes there are. So basically, the classes then, in the Phi concept, classes say what particular parts of Phi should get done are applicable to that particular client. So you can customize for a range of clients, or for one particular client, you can customize different ways of installation. These classes get determined, and their configuration space gets determined. And I will talk about that in a bit. Then the installation gets executed in the sense that the target file systems get partitioned and created, and the packages get installed, and scripts and so on get executed. And in the end, this client-specific pixie config will get set to local boot, so the next time it will not get reinstalled again, but will boot from local disk. And in general, it's possible to do post-install management via the soft update mechanism, which I believe is not that heavily used, but you can use it to figure out which packages should be on and which package should get removed, or whether packages should get updated if they are. Or you can add probably new packages which you think should be on that host. So Phi classes in more detail. They define how specifically a client get installed. And well, it's you can, so as I said, it's sysadmin-centric, it's Perl and shell, so you can do whatever you want in some constraints. So, but generally, I believe you take hardware-specific or feature-specific or client-purpose-specific classes. So say you have a class i386, which you can always query and do various things which should be done on i386 compared to maybe AMD64, like installing the right kernel and that kind of stuff. Or say grub or Lilo, if you will say, okay, this computer doesn't boot with Lilo, or this computer doesn't boot with grub, so you can set a specific class for that kind of computer. Or things like GNOME or server, you can make up packages lists of different packages which should get installed on one machine, so the purpose of the machine gets executed. Basically, how it is done is there is a couple of scripts, or you can of course add new ones, which get run on during boot by this Phi init, and they determine the classes. So basically what they output on standard out is what the classes will get added to the classes. So in this case, uname will be put into uppercase, and then as you see, this would be the i386 or AMD64 class in the first line. and then the next one would be also, dpackage there, and other things. So that's like system dependent. And other classes would be host dependent. For example, here there's a host name demo host. So basically this is taken from the Phi example classes, just so you can, if you want to look it up, it's the phi-doc package under user share doc phi doc example simple. So there you can have a look how Phi classes are looking like, and this is from that example if you want to look it up. And then here you can say then if the class is E386 or AMD64, then also install grub, for example. So you can do that. And in this case, the host demo host would have the package-based classes Firebase, DHCPC for DHCP client, and demo. And any other client, of course, you can add your own here, would have only Firebase and DHCPC. And then you have a list of classes which apply to that particular client. And from these classes, there's a couple of different things that are getting run. Various types of classes, you can say. And they are all below the so-called config space. In the class directory itself are the scripts, which I was just talking about, which determine the classes. But there is also there can also be variables files, which are the class name .var, and they just contain variables. For example, in the simple classes, they also contain a hashed root password for the installation client and other things, and they can be used later on by scripts and hooks. The first thing which gets looked at is the disconfiguration class, which figures out or tells you how to partition a host. So the host gets automatically partitioned based on what kinds of partitions you want. You can put any kind of partition in, and it looks like a table, and you state an amount point and how much size it should be. So for the boot file system, you would have a couple of hundred megs, and for the home file system on a desktop, you would say, okay, I take the rest of the disk and stuff like that. And you can do preceding of variables, which everybody probably knows about. For depconf variables, you can put them in the depconf class in a general format, which is depconf set selections. And there in the package config will have a list of packages to install and a method of it. You can also say in a class, well, if also that other class is there, then also install these and that packages. And well, files are files that's a bit difficult to explain. You have a directory hierarchy there, and these files then get copied over by fcopy, which you have to do in one of the scripts I will talk in a minute. So you basically say for the file boot grub menu list, you would have files /grub /s /boot /grub /menu list/, and then uppercase grub if as it pertains to the grub class. And they can also have post-ins and pre-ins scripts which run directly before or after the file gets copied, and they are prepend, so they just prepend by pre-ins, post-ins. And finally, you have the scripts which do all the configuration, and they have a priority, like a two-digit priority for each class, so they will get run in succession. So you can say, well, which script should be run first and later, and so on. And there, again, you can use the variables or the installed files to do various packaging, various setup stuff. And the hooks, it's a bit different. They're not running in that particular order, but you can hook into some parts of FAI and do things you believe should be done at that point. For example, when there's an error, you can do some more cleaning up you want to do on your side, or what to do on a soft update action, and what to do when software gets installed. Okay, so that's a very short overview of FAI. I mean, if there's more questions about that, we can go to that back later. But now I want to go a bit into Goza, because that's probably a part which is not so well known. It's a configuration management system built by a German company called Gonikos. And it's LDAP backed. So basically everything is stored in LDAP. And as a front end, you have a web-based front end, which brings me back to this size admin thing I was talking before. So as you can see, it's very much different to what regular size admins would go to. I mean, it's something which, for example, for the city of Munich is very important because the team is only like a dozen people, but there is tons of admins who have to finally install all these 15,000 machines, and they don't want to do that all by themselves. They're just providing the infrastructure, and all the admins are not necessarily trained in Perl or Python or CF Engine and Shell and FAI. So for them, it's quite convenient that people are able to do that kind of things in a web front end. So it's not necessary that you're a senior Unix size admin to do that. It has some terminal server desktop integration called GOTO, which I believe stands for Gonico's Terminal Operations or something, where for each user you can, for example, define in LDAP shares which should get mounted, or desktop icons which should show up. It's actually pretty KDE-centric still, I believe. I mean, I'm not talking about that here, just saying that it's possible. And they're using it for the city of Munich to do various customizations of the KDE desktop. So that's quite nice. And it has a pretty powerful plugin infrastructure. So there's loads of plugins. As you can see, you can do a lot of management of various things. I mean, the most important probably is maybe the mail stuff on for your favorite mail or groupware server, so all the mail gets routed properly and things like that, and you can do that via LDAP lookups. So basically, what you need to do to hook into that is that your system is able, or that's at least the perfect way, is able to hook up or to look up things in LDAP, and Goza will do that for you, and then you have the integration going, and you can easily manage that. And what I'm going to talk about is how it can be used for system management. That means installing and keeping up to date workstations, servers, well, also terminal clients. So the difference to FAI is it's implemented in PHP, and it can be sometimes flaky. I mean, there's some very stable parts of it, but especially the system integration part is not very, very stable yet. So just as a data point, so far everything we were looking at for the city of Munich, even when we thought it had something to do with FAI, it was actually always a Goza bug. So there was never any problem with FAI on for that project, at least. It was always a problem with Goza. Okay. I mean, just so you get a look, or you get a hold of how it looks like, I can quickly show you. It's the main Goza screen with just a couple of plugins. So as you install more plugins, more would get visible. And probably have to log in again. No. So right now, this is just a test setup. So one thing I'm also not going to talk about is migration of data from in LDAP. So that can be a bit tricky. If you have large installation and you have lots of stuff already, lots of users already in LDAP, and then maybe some custom objects and things like that, then it could be quite tricky to get it properly with Goza, but it certainly can be done, and it has been done, and there is also some migration assistance and things like that. But yeah, basically, well, the administrator is able to do quite a bit, but users are able to change all their stuff, change their password, and for example, this seems to be not working, but you can add users to groups. or change your home directory and their account, change how their password should be done and stuff like that. I mean, things that you could do easily as a Unix admin, but which might be not so obvious to people who are new to this. It has departments, so you can set up different, always wants me to cancel. So you can set up different departments. Actually, the city of Munich is using hundreds of those. I'm not going to talk much about that. And you can group people into groups. So you can have like a group of admins or a group of users or a group from that department, and give them different things like different default shares they should have on the login and things like that. Okay, what the thing is I want to show is the systems plugin. And here you see three servers. So I put some two shadow servers, which is FTPDE, Debian Org, as a package repository, and Debian pool NTP Org as a time server. And NITORG is my local server that I've reproduced here. And so you can see the server, the IP address, MAC address. And well, this is not applicable because I just installed the server automatically, not via this mechanism, but if you want, you can do that as well. For example, the city of Munich, they install all their Goza repository servers via PHY as well. Okay, well, just going back for a second. So what can you do with Goza and PHY? You can edit classes in LDAP or in the web front end, basically. So that's, of course, on the other hand, also, I mean, it's quite nice for non-tech savvy people, but on the other hand, it's not the greatest thing, of course, if you're used to doing that in VI or Emacs. So I can show you how that is done. This is the software deployment module, and you can define various releases. I defined a Lenny release. And basically what I did here is recreate the simple demo class of PHY. So you have, as I said, you have this grub class, which has as a template this boot grub menu list file. You can upload the file or you can edit the file. Oops, sorry. So this would be the file. It's also stored in LDAP, Base64 encoded. So everything's really in LDAP. And with that file, you have scripts. These are the three scripts which are done by the default simple class which set up grub appropriately. And this one, for example, does the fcopy of this menu list entry. And this is the post-in script, which I recreated here, which sets in the right boot device, boot partition into the menu list, so everything gets done appropriately. So as you can see, you can edit this over the web front end. I'm perfectly clear that it's not the thing that some people at DevConf might do, but I just want to convey that it's certainly a good thing for people who are not that experienced, who can do this kind of things easily. This would be the main package list. Okay, now network trouble. Oh, there we are. So these are the main packages for this. And what you can also do is edit the depconf Well, not in this one, apparently. So there is some limited functionality for configuring packages for preseeding. It's not working very well all the time, but for a reasonable subset, it works rather well. So you see the templates in here, they get extracted out of the packages, and people can then decide what should be the configuration options for that, and they get implemented. Good. So go back to the talk. Then, yeah, as I said, you can edit the classes in LDAP only. I mean, that's maybe something which should be thought of in the future. I don't know. And you can assign a repository and an FAI profile. So the difference between FAI, as I said before, and Goza is that through to this shell script evaluation in the beginning of FAI, you have a very dynamic way of doing things. And also, for example, in the package list, you can tell what other packages should get installed if another class is there. So you don't have this kind of dynamic things. This is a pretty static way. So the whole configuration space of five for one client is predetermined. What you can do, though, is you can put several profiles. So profile is a list of classes to apply. So it's a set of classes, basically. And then you can say, OK, I have one package list for this, and then I have a slightly modified package list for that. And depending on the client I want to install, I'm choosing this profile or that profile, which would include the right package list or the right scripts or that kind of things. So the easiest way to install a client would be to add a profile to it. And what you can also do is you can set an action. I mean, you can set a wake up for things which can be woken up over Ethernet, or a reinstall or soft update mechanism that would get triggered by the next reboot. What you can also do is monitor the installation progress, which is pretty nice. So if you have like 50 different clients which are installing, you can see them all on one page, what their progress is, whether they had a problem. That's actually, I think, one of the main advantages. I'm not sure about any other, like, five. I mean, of course, you can always look at the file log files on the clients or on the server, but that's a nice way to have a good overview. And you can also view the file installation logs of that. They get sent to the server and they get stored on the server, and you can look at them in a somewhat convenient way. The other thing is you can mass install a list of clients, so that's also a feature that City of Munich is using a lot. So you can have a CSV list of MAC addresses and what time they should get be installed, and you can import that, and then all the clients will get installed at that time. Or you can just click through a list of all the systems and say, okay, every system which has this name, or well, click through, and they get all installed at the same time. So how does it work in practice? It works in so far that Goza hooks into Phi at various places. So the first thing is that the TFTP boot service gets supervised by a program called FTS. And this one, so if the client, the booting client, requests the configuration file from for itself by requesting pixie boot.config / its MAC address, then there's a fuse file system which will figure out the read on that non-existing or virtual inode, and FTS will then query the LDAP database via a Phi module what the system status is of that system, of that particular client. And if it's set to local boot, it will generate a pixie config for local boot. If it's set to install, then it will generate an appropriate pixie config for install. So, and then it will write it out dynamically on the fuse file system for that client, which can read it and will boot accordingly. So that's the first thing. And the installation and the root file system over NFS is basically the same thing, except that for also Goza hooks into makefi NFS root script, which generates the NFS root and does a couple of local changes there as well. And then the main difference is the configuration source. So the variable phi config source is set to Goza, which means that the script user lib phi get config dir Goza will get executed. And this one runs the so-called Goza system integration client on the client, which talks over the network, over a socket with another Goza system integration server on the server, and does a handshake at the beginning, and then will tell about about the status of the installation and other things later on when the client has been booted. You can, for example, trigger reboot on it, and it will do that on the client. And then it runs LDAP2Phi, which is the main script which does the configuration space determination. So it queries LDAP for the client classes and configuration spaces, so which profiles do pertain to that client, and it figures out which classes are in that profile, and then it downloads all the necessary scripts, hooks, and variables, and partition tables, and stores them on the disk, as is for a regular static phi config space, but that's a dynamically generated one. It merges in a couple of default classes, which do some Goza-specific things as well. And there are a couple of hooks which override some parts of Goza, some parts of Phi, for example, for the progress thing, and stuff like that. And then installation gets executed. And during that, GotoPhi progress will send that progress over the server via Goza SI. And after that, Phi state is again set to local boot. And just, so the main problem is it's not as easy as apt-get install Goza plugin phi. So it's not quite, the status so far is that Goza itself, just this like last month, late last month, was finally updated to the 2.6 version, which is the newest version, so that's finally in unstable and probably soon in squeeze. But Goza SI has not been uploaded yet. It needs a couple of more Perl modules and maybe some more integration. And the other problem, of course, is for setting up Phi itself. It's pretty difficult. So if you just set it up, it doesn't really do much itself. You need integration with LDAP a lot. You need to do quite some other things. And especially for the FAI plugin and the Goto plugin, which is dependent on that, you need to install quite a couple of Perl modules which have not yet been uploaded as well. So what is there and what I've been working on over the last couple of weeks is Mark Pavlichuk has been creating some install scripts. So basically, what he's doing is these are scripts you can run, and then when apt-get install or build from source appropriate packages you need, and they will also modify, for example, the PHP config because some parameters have to be set. So it's something that it's not very very nice at the moment. It needs much more integration, but with those scripts you can at least try it out on a host. And then see whether that setup might suit you. And it, for example, it adds all the schemas to slapd.conf. It does other stuff. And as I said, it compiles unavailable module packages from subversion. So I fixed it up quite a bit to get it working because I think he never managed to get a real client installation working with it. There were quite some loose ends. So, for example, he hadn't set the phi config source variable to Goza, so it just didn't do anything. It just did the regular phi install, basically. Stuff like that. So, I just want to demo now for a second if I manage to set up or add a new client. While, so you can create a new workstation. Let's call it demo host. There is, I set up a virtual box image for this with this MAC address. There we go. You have to set an NTP server. You have to set kernel, an LDAP server. And here you can assign, as I said, you can assign a repository and the file classes. So this is my local repository, which is just a regular Lenny repository, which I have cloned on this external USB hard drive for, performance reasons. Lenny is the only release I have, and these are the classes that are defined, and I'll take this demo host profile. You also have to set use DCC. And then there's the new demo host. It's still blocked. Activate it. So now I'm not sure whether it will actually work. We will see. Okay, so it's booting from local disk, which means that it didn't figure out it correctly from LDAP. So there's a problem there. Just so you can see how it looks like, I can try to quickly force it into installation mode, if that works. Oh, there we go. I hope that helps. One second. Now it's running the vmlinux install kernel. It's loading the init RAM disk. And it will immediately boot from NFS root. Takes a bit. Okay. So, there we go. Well, so just to finish up this while the demonstration is going. As I said, it's very much a work in progress still. I mean, it works. Except for that slight problem I was just fixing. Oh. Okay, that's what my problem with the port mapper usually. Great. It's getting better. Yeah, it's not I'm also doing this in a change root, so I didn't want to use my whole notebook for this. So this is why it's a bit weird setup, which I hope, there we go. It has booted the NFS root, and it's now booting the real one. And now you can see the progress of the installation of Phi. It has created all the scripts and the templates over LDAP, and it's now performing the Phi installation. That was a bit fast, maybe, but now it does the partitioning. It's making the file systems. And here you can see the progress. It's inspecting the hard drives. Yeah. So, and on the Goza side, there is a system deployment status. And it should show in principle. Well, that's the demonstration effect. Usually it should show the status of the installation. Did it fail? Well, I'm sorry about that. Not sure what's wrong. I had it working for quite.
Like, check the error log.
Yeah, maybe I didn't properly. Ah, there we go.
I think you've hit the demos never work law.
Sorry?
You've hit the law of demos never work.
Well, yeah, I forgot. I didn't bind mount the Debian repository into it, so it couldn't find the packages. That was the problem. Now it's again booting from local disk. Okay. Well, I think we're running out of time anyway. So is there 10 minutes? Yeah. I mean, that's VirtualBox. There is any questions?
Yep.
Yep.
Do you want to repeat or will?
I'm Jeff Crompton from Trinity College.
Yep.
My first question is, in Goza, are there tools for mass account creation? If you get a CSV list or a database lookup of a bunch of names and maybe your company ID, can you do a mass account creation?
Well, you can certainly mass add LDAP entries.
Because you display, doing an account creation of a single person.
Yeah.
Is there a way to do that more efficiently for 300
people?
Well,
as I said, you can just create the LDAP objects
so
via another name.
Just
so
LDIF however you want to do it.
Yeah, right, an LDIF file if it's the right schema and everything. I mean, in generally, it's certainly possible to just migrate your existing LDAP. And that's the main reason to do it. It just might be a bit hairy at some, you have to fix up some stuff. Depends on what schema you were using and stuff, but yeah, that's possible. And of course, you can just—I mean, everything you can do in the web, you can just do via LDAP manipulation over, as you just saw, for example. I have no idea why it currently doesn't work. So I'm just putting the Phi state back to where is it to install. It's in anyway. So yeah, further questions.
Okay, I'll take another question.
Yeah.
Can FAI install non-Debian things?
That's a question to FAI people. It's
yes.
Do you want to answer it?
Yes.
So the answer was yes.
The answer.
Can it install things like Zen Server? Zen server?
Yes.
And the answer was yes again.
Well, that's Debian. Kind
of what is Zen server? Is that a special distribution though from ZenSource or?
No, I mean it's the.
Or is it just a Debian-based Zen?
Zen server is sold by Citrix.
Okay, right. So it's. Any other questions? Yeah, can you please stand up? It's on? Okay.
Stand up. For LGRP schema, when you create a user, there are standard schema or what? What is it?
Yeah, it's. I'm not too sure on that question actually. There is certainly standard schemas. I don't think it's particularly weird in the sense. I don't really know what is standard in that sense. So I can't really. So I just invite you to look at the schema that they're using.
For for a mail user, for example. What are attributes for alias, for example?
Wait, let's go with the default. So that's the attributes that the system administrator has: CN, object class, description, and well, the other things I haven't really added. So where is it?
No specific. Goza object class?
There's an object class, yeah. So that's maybe specific. What? Sorry? Okay, well, I guess I won't get it working at this point. But as I said, there is some way to go. I mean, I will talk with Mark and try to get it going. And well, my personal goal is to get it working for example, say you got a research group at a university. There is a postdoc who is quite good at Unix, but every 2 years another person will do the administration, and make it easier for those people to set it up and maybe have some other people help them who are not that tech savvy. So I'm not sure whether it will be eventually possible to do that. I mean, it's clear that it's a viable thing insofar as City of Munich is using it for a couple of thousand workstations already. And it just needs quite a lot more integration now. Okay, so if there's no more further questions, is there? Okay, well, thank you.